From Pacifica Radio, this is Democracy Now!
I think everybody needs to run out and buy a copy of Brave New World and read it right now.
Does cloning violate the Constitution? The 13th Amendment abolished slavery. We'll look at how universities and corporations are scrambling for patent rights and how European companies are dealing with cloning and embryonic cell research. Also, spinning science into gold, how industry's public relations campaigns stifle debate over biotechnology, and resource rebels, native challenges to mining and oil corporations. All that and more coming up on Democracy Now! Welcome to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. A program conceived by the Clinton administration to rid the world of 100 tons of American and Russian weapons-grade plutonium is likely to be abandoned by the Bush administration. This, according to today's New York Times, talking to people who've been briefed about the project. Under the plan, which was first proposed in the mid-1990s, 50 tons of U.S. plutonium and 50 tons of Russian plutonium would be taken out of nuclear weapons and either converted into fuel for nuclear reactors or rendered useless for weapons by mixing it with highly radioactive nuclear waste, a process known as immobilization. When the plan was drafted, Clinton administration officials said the program would reduce the risk that the plutonium would fall into the wrong hands, where it could easily be turned into weapons. By reducing the availability of weapons-grade plutonium, the project had the added benefit of bolstering treaties between the U.S. and Russia to cut the number of warheads deployed by each side. But Bush administration officials deny that the program is dead, acknowledging, though, that it has difficulties, primarily financial ones. More than 10 months after two Arabic-speaking suicide bombers attacked the destroyer Cole in Aden, Yemen, killing 17 U.S. sailors, an FBI investigation has virtually ground to a halt because Yemen has refused repeated U.S. requests to widen the inquiry to include Islamic militant groups in Yemen. The Cuban newspaper Granma has accused the United States of waging a biological war against Cuba that was probably to blame for a disease that has destroyed 16,000 beehives and caused $2 million in lost honey output since 1996. The disease has dashed plans to produce 8,500 tons of honey this year. Much of Cuba's honey is exported for needed foreign currency. The United States has ridiculed such claims. In this news from Nepal, the new government has withdrawn sedition charges against a top editor of the daily newspaper, Kantapur, and two executives of a company that publishes it. They had been jailed after the newspaper printed a column by a Maoist leader during the crisis that followed the massacre of much of the royal family. The government and the Maoists have recently agreed to hold peace talks. The United States sought today to head off a Palestinian bid for a Security Council resolution condemning Israel and expanding the role of the United Nations in the Middle East peace process. James Cunningham, the acting U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, cautioned the 15-nation council not to take any action that could exacerbate the conflict between Israel and Palestinians. The Palestinians' U.N. representative has circulated a draft resolution calling for a vaguely defined U.N. monitoring mechanism to help the Palestinians and Israelis implement the Mitchell Commission's recommendations. A consumer advocacy group yesterday asked the Food and Drug Administration to strengthen warnings about the health hazards of the nation's most popular cholesterol-lowering drugs. Public Citizens Health Research Group urged the FDA to take the action after researchers found that the agency over the last 13 years had received reports of 81 additional deaths from a condition called rhabdomyolysis among people taking statins. The new head of the Drug Enforcement Administration said this week that he would enforce the federal ban on medical marijuana, wants to improve the accountability of paid confidential informants, and intends to increase technology used in the war on drugs. Asa Hutchinson, a former Republican congressman from Arkansas, said he wants to send the right signal on medical marijuana. Federal law prohibits the sale of marijuana for medicinal purposes, but several states, including California and Oregon, allow people to grow it, dispense it, and use it without fear of prosecution, which is considered a federal responsibility under a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision. Chicago Public Schools will start a pilot program in November that will require parents to attend counseling classes or perform up to 30 days of community service if their child misses 18 days of school for unexplained reasons. School officials say they'll introduce the program in about 200 schools with the highest truancy rates. Two Philadelphia businessmen were charged with involuntary manslaughter for a pier collapse last year that sent a nightclub tumbling into the Delaware River, killing three people and injuring dozens. A grand jury report said the pier's owner and the nightclub's owner were warned by an expert just hours before the accident that a collapse was imminent, but decided to open for business anyway. Namibia's black communal farmers urged the country's 4,000 mainly white commercial farmers to speed up land reform to avoid Zimbabwe-style farm occupations. The Namibia National Farmers Union said the government's willing seller, willing buyer policy had failed to address the land imbalance in Namibia because white commercial farmers are unwilling to sell. Only 35,000 Namibians have been resettled on commercial farmland since independence from South Africa in 1990. Some 243,000 communal farmers are still waiting for land. According to government statistics, about 75 million acres are owned by whites and only 5.5 million by black farmers in Namibia. And organizers for the Latin Grammy Awards decided yesterday to move the September 11th ceremonies from Miami to Los Angeles, citing fears that planned protests by Cuban exile groups would threaten the security of performers and others attending the show. This summer, a coalition of 67 exile groups vowed to protest the appearance of Cuban performers at the awards show, just as anti-Castro groups did in 1999.
Crime is just to throw up your hands. Say this has nothing to do with me. I just wanna live as comfortably as I can. You gotta look outside your eyes. You gotta think outside your brain. You gotta walk outside your life to where the neighborhood changed. Who I will be. You don't have to like me for who I am, but we'll see what you're made of by what you make of me. I think it's absurd to think I am the derelict daughter. You know I fight fire with words. Words are hotter than flames. Words are wetter than I got friends I haven't met yet. I got friends I never knew. I got lovers whose eyes have only seen at a glance. I got strangers for great grandchildren. I got strangers for ancestors. I was a long time coming. I'll be a long time coming. You got your whole life to do something. Thank you.
willing to fight for democracy now. I'm Amy Goodman. That was Annie DeFranco. An article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal begins, as the science of cloning and embryonic stem cells advances at a breathtaking pace, universities and companies are seeking sweeping patent claims over the new technologies. In the U.S., patent applications in these two areas have jumped 300% in just the last year. But ethical prohibitions embodied in patent law in the U.S. and Europe are preventing scientists from securing patents on some pioneering biological inventions. At issue in the U.S. is the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery. Patent documents show that the legal prohibition against owning humans has complicated efforts by Geron Corporation and closely held Advanced Cell Technology, Inc. to patent medical uses of human cloning technology. We're joined right now by the authors of the piece. Antonio Regalado joins us here at the Firehouse in New York, and Mira Lewis is on the phone with us from Brussels, Belgium. Welcome to Democracy Now!
Hi, Amy. Thank you.
Well, hi. Let's start with Antonio. Now, explain exactly how this kind of research or patents can violate the constitutional amendment against slavery.
Well, basically, the Patent Office said, and they made an agency decision in 1987 or so, not to allow patents on people or any sort of technology for making people. And the reason was that they decided that Congress or the courts would have to make that decision because of protections that are embodied in the Constitution and elsewhere that basically say people have to be free. And if you were to give patents on people or ways of making them, there might be a kind of conflict there.
So how are corporations dealing with this?
That's a good question. That's why we went to the Patent Office and looked at the original documents, because they would like to get patents on certain aspects of cloning technology, not necessarily aimed at producing sort of live, kicking and breathing clones, but embryo stage clones that they can use to harvest their stem cells. And they have had to finesse the situation in order to be able to protect their technology while sort of avoiding the rule in the Patent Office against patenting people.
What does the University of Massachusetts have to do with this?
Well, this is typical in the biotechnology area, where university labs will come up with some new technology, and then that technology will be licensed to a biotechnology company. And that's what happened here. There was a laboratory in the University of Massachusetts working on cloning in species like cattle and pigs, and they came up with some new ways of doing that. And they filed patent applications, and those applications were licensed to a company called Advanced Cell Technology, which also hired some of the researchers involved. And now that company is trying to build a business based around cloning cattle and also with some human health applications as well.
You write, the company's initial patent application filed in 97 had some problems, including a description of harvesting transplant tissues from cloned, quote, embryos, fetuses, or offspring, including human. A spokesman for the Patent Office says the agency not only forbids patents on human beings, but also on any method for making them. So are they just changing their language in the application process?
Well, the original application can be amended during the process of getting it through the Patent Office, and that's what they did in order to get some claims on the useful products of these cloned human embryos, which is the stem cells, but without having a legal claim on the embryos themselves. So they've sort of been able to get the patent protection they wanted while steering clear of this Patent Office rule. The reason we went to the Patent Office to look at the history of the patent prosecution was because we were interested to find out whether some of these groups had actually tried to patent so-called reproductive cloning, which is cloning, you know, live people. And it was ambiguous whether that was the case. But the early applications definitely talked about, you know, taking tissue from cloned individuals.
What do you mean it was ambiguous whether that was the case?
Well, because when you file a patent, you write there's part of it called the claims, and you write those claims as broadly as possible. So if you were to invent a new type of automobile, you would describe it in the most general terms, so that you would have patent rights over any small variation on that automobile. So that's the same case here, where when the patent applications are filed, they'll say, we claim a new method of creating animals through cloning. And obviously humans are animals, and the patent office will point this out to them, and then they'll have to restrict their claims and put in the disclaimer, non-human before animals. But what was the intention originally? Was it just a mistake? Was it just the habits of patent attorneys? Or was it actually an attempt to patent reproductive cloning?
We're talking to Antonio Regalado, staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal, Mira Lewis, who co-wrote this piece in yesterday's paper, Ethical Concerns Block Widespread Patenting of Embryonic Advances, is in Brussels. Mira also did some of her original reporting work and training at WBAI. Welcome, Mira.
Thank you, Amy.
It's great to have you with us. Now, in this piece, talking about patents like one that was just approved last May, rights are given to stem cells taken from cloned embryos, not the embryos themselves. But such a patent may never be allowed in Europe. Why not?
Because in Europe, you have what's called the European Directive, which is put out by the European Parliament, and the directive clearly states that you cannot use, any claims that claim that they are going to patent human beings or cloning of human beings is unpatentable. But what's interesting in Europe is that we've seen already that the European Patent Office has made mistakes in the past. For example, there was a company called Stem Cell Sciences, which was an Australian company, and Greenpeace caught was looking through their claims and found a mistake, and the European Patent Office finally admitted that they had made a mistake because there was an aspect of human cloning in the patent. So even though the directive clearly states you cannot do that, these claims are just so complicated that we're finding that there are mistakes, and we're also finding that companies, European companies, continue to make claims, including the cloning of human beings.
Can you talk about who Christopher Thenn is?
Christopher Thenn is from Greenpeace, German Greenpeace, and he's been basically since 1992 looking at and researching patents. And he's the one who actually uncovered the mistake in stem cell sciences. In this particular case, for example, while the European Patent Office has said that the company Stem Cell Sciences has voluntarily withdrawn the human aspect from their patent, Christopher Thenn still is fighting the claim. It's in opposition proceedings right now, and he'd like to see the patent completely dismantled because he says that there are other aspects in the claim that clearly talk about human cloning. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
The directive that was, I guess, passed in 1998 on biotechnology inventions from the European Parliament that outlaws patenting of processes for cloning humans and modifying the genetics of the human species, as well as commercial uses of embryos. How is it implemented in each country?
Well, that's what's really interesting now, because the directive, it's mandatory for all EU countries to incorporate the directive into national law. But what's happening here in Europe, we have intricacies in different laws that, scientists are battling against. For example, in Germany, you cannot use human embryonic stem cells, whereas in England, you can up to a certain period. I mean, because in Germany, they consider an embryo a human being. I mean, basically, they consider it a human being at the time of fertilization, whereas England, I think, has a kind of a period of up to 14 days. So, while you have this one directive, it's being interpreted into different in different ways in different countries. And Germany is having one of the biggest problems because I talked to one politician who said that they would never allow this because just given their past history. with the Nazis, and they said that if Parliament should ever decide to go ahead with this, that there would be people in the Bundestag that would go to the Constitutional Court.
Well, perhaps things will change if the biotech industry launches the same kind of PR campaign in Europe that they're launching in the United States, and we're going to talk about that in our next segment. But I'd like you to stay on for just a minute as we conclude our conversation after the break with Mira Lewis and Antonio Regalado, two Wall Street Journal reporters who've just done a piece on the ethical concerns that block patents on embryonic work, and also talk about the 13th Amendment, the possible violation of the Constitution around the abolition of slavery. You're listening to Democracy Now!, breaking the sound barrier. Stay with us.
Snowfall.